just taking you in. So beautiful. Good and blessed morning to you. It is truly a joy to share this Easter day with you. I have some sad news to share, though. I found out early this morning that due to the current state of affairs in our lives and in the world, Jesus, in fact, did not rise from the dead today. Not this year, not in the midst of so much that threatens our humanity and the hope that God has for us. Not this year. April Fools! Of course the Lord has risen! The Lord has risen indeed! And there's no fooling about it. He has risen from the cruel judgment, rejection, fear, and hatred that violently murdered him. He could not be held by the powers of hell. Death is not the final word, not now, not today, not ever. A character in John Irving's masterful novel, A Prayer for Owen Meany, calls Easter the main event for Christians. He explains that any fool can feel like a Christian at Christmas, but that one who does not believe in the resurrection is not really a believer. The substance and tone of Peter's teaching suggests that this apostle agreed with the sentiment of Irving's fictional character. Certainly, Paul of Tarsus shared that conviction. Read his declaration delivered to Christians in Corinth. If Christ has not been raised, then faith has been in vain. Resurrection presents a fairly sizable problem to people who feel that they have to explain everything. Anyone out there? In so many people, faith is not true because it cannot be explained fully, rationally, in concrete terms. So the fear of what we cannot grasp fully. Reasoning out faith often keeps us from feeling faith. Resurrection defies reason. And emotions are equally inept at establishing the reality of resurrection. So, do I believe in resurrection? I do. Do I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? I do. Can I point to exactly how I came to be sure to the satisfaction of reason alone? I cannot. But I have no reticence whatsoever commending resurrection to you or to anyone. Not so much as a doctrine to be believed as a reality to be experienced. And certainly as a reason to harbor hope. At noonday prayer on Holy Tuesday this week, the gospel reading then was from John as well. And in verses 35 and 36 of chapter 12, we read, Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light." And it brought to mind for me the words in chapter 1, verse 5 of John, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." A poster with those words on it was sent to our church in Newtown, Connecticut, the week after the Sandy Hook school shootings. And it hung on the wall outside my office door for several years. And it truly was a visual reminder to us, to me, that God wrestles light from darkness. Even from the darkness of death comes the light of hope. It was in those days, weeks, months, and now years since that God opened my eyes to see the tiniest sparks of light that bring hope into the very midst of despair. I witnessed it day after day, in sparks here and there, in places and in lives that should have been engulfed with darkness, Yet the light of God's amazing love for us just could not be extinguished, not even by the agony of death. If I didn't truly believe in resurrection light and hope before that, I sure do now. I have seen it over and over and over again. Conversations I hear among strangers and friends alike strengthen my conviction about resurrection. Frequently, a person who has been in deep trouble in life comes and says, "I'm doing better, I'm feeling better than I ever have before." And then comes the question I hear so often, "Why did things in my life have to get so bad for things to change? Why did I have to sink into such a terrible abyss to discover grace? Is there no way to health outside of sickness? No way into hope apart from a bout with utter despair?" That nagging inquiry opens the door for a discussion about resurrection. God works in the worst moments of life to turn them into occasions for experiencing grace and finally finding hope. Amidst the deafening silence of unwelcome solitude, we sense the possibility of fellowship. Battered by despair, we suddenly catch a glimmer of hopeful promise. Grinding grief opens our lives to a comfort we never knew existed. Standing amidst the devastation wrought by our own wrongdoing, we discover the stirrings of grace. At the very moment we think everything is over, so often we discover that there will be a tomorrow and a tomorrow and a future. God wrestles forth light from utter darkness, life from death. God brings the reality of resurrection into our lives here and there every day. I don't think God brings the darkness or the agony or the evil. I don't think God sends that to us so we can learn a lesson. But I do believe that God enters into every one of those situations with us. And God wrestles forth every piece and bit of life that God can find. One of Andrew Greeley's novels, a young woman named Mary Elizabeth speaks to a priest about her spiral downward into sin. And though gravely disappointed in herself and devastated by guilt, the woman tries to make sense of the gratitude that wells up inside of her. At the worst moment in her life, a moment that felt like a death, she touched or was touched by something supremely, supremely. Mary Elizabeth was astounded that when she most deserved punishment, God sent a gift of repentance, of forgiveness, of hope, of love, and of new life. She found herself needing to repent of her sin while ironically, profoundly grateful for the consequences of the deed requiring the repentance. Have you ever had that feeling where you just had this darkest moment and somehow God was doing something, wrestling something forth that would bring hope? A time when you despised a really bad space in your life, a painful time, and yet being grateful for what came of it? Have you ever been where you would not even want your worst enemy to go and right there, plastered against the bottom of a damnable pit, found God and realized that something good was beginning to happen within you? If so, then you know what Mary Elizabeth meant, and you know something of the meaning already of resurrection. How can moments of despicable evil become occasions for growth in goodness itself? How can horror become a womb from which hope is born? How will the injustice and evil so rampant in our world ever be changed and transformed into justice, equity, and mercy for every single one of God's beloved lives? It is God working in us. God working out the grace we easily ignore, the gift we explain away every day. It is God bringing about once again resurrection, raising us to a place above sin, above evil, above pain, above disease, above hopelessness, above grief, above despair, resurrection. A place where possibility is born, faith leaping in our inmost parts, a place of new birth, of new life itself, birthing justice within us that will then spring forth from us. Resurrection changes everything. When we turn a downward or a backward glance at the absolute worst conditions of our lives, sometimes we actually have trouble fully despising them. Because in their midst, in the midst of the hurt and the disappointment and the rejection and the injustice and the infidelity and the tears and the pain and the loss and the criticism, we meet God. God loves us in the midst of it all. And sometimes we feel like we meet God for the very first time and discover that the gospel is true. It really is good news, and resurrection comes. All this and so many more experiences that I know that we each can name is why we end up being thankful for one of the most horrendous acts of evil of which humankind is capable, the crucifixion of Jesus. And just when we think things can't get any worse in life, God infuses our lives with promise, with love, with hope. One writer eloquently framed the truth of this, explaining that the only pattern sunlight can make is with the shadows that it throws, which means that when we find ourselves in the shadows, we can be sure that the sun is shining. God finds a way. God brings life out of death. So sure, a smiling skeptic cynically quips, so how does it happen? That's a fair question. Fair, but I don't know the answer. Let's ask the bishop. It's a mystery, my friends. It's a huge mystery. It's a miracle, a mystery. We're not supposed to be able to explain it. We're supposed to revel in it, shout hallelujah in it, change our lives in it. Who can explain any of the graces of life? Love, passion, beauty, prayer, healing, communion, friendship. Mystery pulsates at the very heart of reality. And at the bottom of all of it, including reality itself, is resurrection and new life. Honestly, awareness of God's work of resurrection fills us with hope, and yet it sets us on edge. We don't always know where we might encounter God, where we might encounter the risen Christ. It could happen anywhere, at any time. It could be anyone standing in front of you. It could be everyone around you. Any set of circumstances. Jesus died in love for every last one of us, everywhere. We do know that such an encounter occurs, and it will occur over and over. Meet God, we will. We do. Sooner or later, here or there, at one time or another, believing or not. And here is where the truth becomes even better than we thought possible. like Mary Magdalene and her friends of old, early some morning, still dark, we may make our way to the tomb of our lost love or the sepulcher of our dead dreams, our ruined reputation, our devastated faith, our body ravaged by disease, our hearts pierced by the sword of a loved one taken from us at the hand of another. Pain, abuse, whatever it is. Or late some evening, we may look starkly into the depth of our despair, hopelessness, our loneliness, our depression, and right there, just when we are ready to give up, to give in to the evil and the worst, we will see a spark of light in the darkness. God is there with you. God's there at your highest joys, your lowest sorrows, everything in between. And we encounter the outstretched arms of our risen Lord and realize that God in Christ is with us. No angel in shining raiment will have to tell us what happened. We will know firsthand the beyond reality, beyond all reason, joyous gift of resurrection. This morning, as I was preparing to come to celebrate this absolutely awesome day with you, I first read, as I do each day, a little reflection from Richard Rohr, and it began with this. It said, "The risen Christ is the standing icon of humanity in its full and final destiny. He is the pledge and guarantee of what God will do with all our crucifixions. At last, we can meaningfully live with hope. It is no longer an absurd or tragic universe. Our hurts now become the home for our greatest hopes." And then, as I was turning into the driveway here, I got a text. No, it wasn't God. He tweets. This text came from the mom, one of the moms in Sandy Hook who lost her son, 6 years old, in the shootings there. And the text said, "He is risen. Christ is risen. Alleluia." If she can know it, we should know it. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.